Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello. Well, this is something a little bit different. Firstly, I'm Stu. I'm the kind of best one out of Chris and Stu. Chris can't be bothered to be here today. He's probably snowboarding or... Well, no, the reality is he's currently spending a little bit of time trying to kind of have some last moments with his foreskin before his upcoming circumcision. So it's not for me to come between a friend and their foreskin. So it's just a little bit of final bit of bonding before off it goes. So anyway, this episode today, this is a Patreon episode. And we put these out every Wednesday. But what we're doing this week is every day we're releasing what we think is a really fun episode that we've put out on Patreon. And we're putting it out for you lot for free. So essentially you get to experience what Patreons get every week. And then hopefully the plan is when we sat down around a big table and chairs, top floor of a really posh central London office, like looking out over the Thames. Me and Chris were in suits, our hair slicked back, having one of our very intense marketing meetings. At one point, like I threw a glass of whiskey at him. It got really fucking heavy. But that's what happens when your co-host still thinks it's funny to photograph, to photocopy his testicles and distribute those images. So what we're hoping is, from that marketing meeting, is that if we give you 5 episodes for free and give you a real insight as to what you get each week on Patreon, then ideally you'll come over and become a patron and join the family. And I say join the family, and that sounds really sinister, but there is a lovely community over there, and you know, you can be as involved in that as you want, or you can just enjoy the episodes. And what you also get on Patreon, let's break that down. So on Patreon, you get another episode every Wednesday. You also get to watch all the episodes. We put all the videos of every episode we do up on the Patreon page, and it's like a Facebook page, really. So we post pictures on their videos, episodes, and then there's comments below, and then all of the Patreons comment and chat. And this has then since created WhatsApp groups, and they all go out and they go to comedy nights together and all sorts of stuff. It's a really lovely little family over there. But not all Patreons are involved in that. Some just go for the content. And so yeah, I guess that's all I wanted to say, really. But you can find out about Patreon. It'll be in the show notes, but it's Patreon, patreon.com/hardcorelisting. So go over there. There's a video over there of me, Pip, Gal Porter, talking about what you get if you sign up. And it doesn't cost a lot of money, and you can stop it at any given point. But you'd be really helping support the podcast and help us kind of, you know, pay for all the bits and pieces that we have to do to give you 2 episodes every week. Anyway, enough waffle from me. Let's really lower the tone now with some piss poor waffle and drivel. Please enjoy your free Hardcore Listing Patreon episode.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello, Patreons. How are you all. I hope you're doing well. So, welcome to another episode of Hardcore Listening. It's your favourite podcast with your favourite hosts, Nana Within, and sitting opposite me, Willy Yum Yum. All right?
All right, mate. Yeah.
Have you added to the mustard wardrobe?
My t-shirt. Yes. Yeah. I've always had the mustard jumper and the mustard t-shirt. It's just usually see the mustard jumper. Yeah. We're coming into summer now, so I'll probably wear this for the next 6 weeks. So, you know, you'll get this on a few videos. I'm gonna get new clothes soon.
Oh, yeah?
What a nice treat will that be for predominantly my girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. So my hairdresser came around this morning and
did he?
He's actually cheaper than just going to the Turkish barbers around the corner.
I know.
And
tell.
And anyway, so he was around at like 8:30 this morning. Connor, I shout him out. And he's about my stamp and he went, what size shoes you got? And I was like, 10. He went, but you fit in a 9.5. I went, dunno. And he went, well, I've just got 2 pairs of Vans that I've never worn and they're sitting in my car and I'm just going to give them away if you want them. Gave me these not a full boot, like a demi boot, like the kind of skate boot, like the ankle boot. These fucking super fucking cool green Vans. I was like, mate. And then he went, oh, you got these ones as well. And they're like very similar, but the trainer version. I was like,
sure. Did you say, oh, they're lovely, but obviously I need to dress my age.
Like, and I was like, do you know what? This 49-year-old needs that right now. And then he went, oh, do you want this? And it was like a brand new, still had like the tags in it, Levi's shirt. And I was like a denim shirt. And I was like, yeah, all right. So, yeah, I got some new clobber this morning.
Is that that the shirt you're wearing now?
No.
Oh, okay. That looked denim.
No, this isn't. No.
Sorry.
But yeah, gave him obviously a nice little tip for the haircut. But what a fucking good start to the day. And anyway.
Now you're talking to me. I'm sorry, mate.
That's all right. When did we last speak? Have I discussed Budapest yet?
No. So hold on. Let's have a little word from our sponsors.
Okay, first up, we have a brand new message from our sponsor, love-beer.co.uk. Charles says, we're delivering to home and office bars in and around London, including Essex, Kent, Hertfordshire and more.
We're a one-stop shop for everything you need to pour a beer at home, from installation of the equipment through to delivering kegs straight to the bar.
This year, with rugby and World Cups, we're also developing our hire equipment with a quick and easy-to-use solution to have kegs at home. For about £3.20 a pint, we can install a keg with all the equipment you need to pour beer for up to 2 weeks.
Yes. All the equipment we provide can dispense up to 2 kegs at the same time. So if you wanted a lager and one of my amazing craft beers we featured previously on the podcast, then the per pint cost will be even lower and the equipment we use will keep it pouring properly for the full 2 weeks without you having to do a thing.
The only thing you have to do is go to love-beer.co.uk.
bangboomcreative.com. That's where you need to go for the very best in film, photography and production work.
Absolutely. Handsome Luke and his team over at Bang Boom have been proud sponsors of ours for bloody ages.
Yeah, and we can tell you 2 things about them. Number 1, their stuff is excellent. They work for massive global brands, charities and companies of all shapes and sizes.
The content they create does really, really deliver. We've done shoots with Luke. Loads of the people, our partners over at the network and our mates have done shoots with Luke. Always banging and they're always getting results.
Yes. And number 2, they're just bloody nice to work with. The team at Bang Boom always give it their all. The business ethics are sound and they're a bunch of warm, proper, decent people.
So if you need some great visuals from a truly excellent company, check out bangboomcreative.com. Sponsors of Hardcore Listing. The world can seem like a strange and sometimes dangerous place. With Samet Academy helping you with your martial arts training, you can always feel safe. Dangerous loners are everywhere. They come across as harmless board game geeks or indie music fanatics, but the reality is far more sinister.
Yes, yes. Renzi Simon James has been training karate for over 32 years and teaching for 28. He knows through first-hand experience that martial arts can give you the stress release you've been looking for. It can teach you life lessons along with fitness and, more importantly, peace. At Sama, he teaches karate, kickboxing, tai chi and MMA to all ages, from children as young as 4 to the very elderly, even Stu.
What? Aside from that, he also teaches ladies self-defense, self-defense courses, team building courses, corporate training days, apprenticeships to become a martial arts instructor for Sama.
Yeah, he even teaches a parent and baby self-defense course. That's defense while carrying your child, not defense against maniacal murder babies, because we all know there's no defense against them. So go hit Simon up at sama-academy.co.uk. There you go. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor Unis. I think Shu was about to give us his Budapest story.
I went to Budapest with Big Papa Jay and another 12 fellas, all about my age-ish. I would all say like all sort of mid to late 40s, a couple in their 50s. And knew most of them.
Yeah, it did look quite old. It looked like a One Foot in the Grave reunion, to be honest with you, mate.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
At an airport.
Obviously, in the middle of it, you got Benjamin Button here. And but, yeah, so fucking hell, right. So, yes, we are all old, right? Mm. And so we get there, and I've got to tell this story. It's fucking mental, right? So we get in the minibus, and I get to catch up with people that I ain't seen for sort of 3 or 4 years. Mm. And it's really nice. We're
chatting. That's nice.
And then all of a sudden we get a phone call that there's a guy coming that none of us ever met, and he's a relation of the bride. And I think the groom's met him twice. And he's coming, amazing, right? But he's phoned to say, yeah, running late, lads. And so we're all sitting in the minibus for the airport.
Absolute wild card.
Half hour late, right?
No.
Gets on the bus. All right, lads. And like, and obviously everyone's too polite to go, fuck's sake, mate. Everyone's like, all right, let's not make him feel anyone feel awkward or out of place.
Yeah.
So we get on a plane, right? And obviously airport beers, Big Papa Jay's there. Everyone's getting overexcited. Get on the plane. I sit next to Big Papa Jay. Next to the aisle is this Italian girl, about 28. Looks a little bit nervous. My mate Steve sitting the other side of her. And Justin has to then start having a conversation with her. And thank God she was fucking great. Like a proper laugh, right? Within 3 minutes, I mean, bear in mind, but we was 4 rows from the front. By the time the drinks thing left us, so they'd only gone past 4 rows of seats, there was no whiskey left on that aeroplane. Right?
Oh, God.
It's fucking ridiculous, right? So within about 2 minutes, Justin's talking to her. Bosh spills a drink all over her lap, right?
Oh, he doesn't.
I'm like, fucking hell. He's like, sorry. Hang on. I'll buy you a watch. She's like, no, I'm all right. And no, I'll buy you one of them little planes. Like, I'll buy you something. Sorry. And anyway, gets another drink. About 5 minutes later, spills that one all over her.
He doesn't.
She gets up and goes to the bathroom. He's going, I don't know what's wrong with me. And then spills another drink all over her seat and coat that was on the chair.
Really?
It's unreal, right? She comes back, he's panicking, clearing the seat up, sits down.
Why did they open all the whiskey? What drinks is he spilling? Is it whiskey and coke?
Yeah.
Are these fresh whiskey and cokes he keeps spilling?
Yeah, like, he bought so much. It's ridiculous, right? So he's literally putting all his fucking cans of coke all over her little table and stuff like that as well. Anyway, after about the third or fourth drink, he's spilled all over her and her seat. Steve gets up to come home and goes, oh, how are you doing? Bosh spills another one all over her. It was like... fucking insane, right? And like, And then obviously she's now must be thinking, who are these people? My mate Steve goes, don't feel threatened. We're all married. I was like, that's the most threatening thing you can say right now. That's fucking terrifying.
Don't think about any sort of like sexual assault. Whatever you do, don't think about sexual assault.
Absolutely. I'm married. Fine. It's fine. It's fine. Relax. Anyway, she was really good fun. And thankfully was just like cracking up at like the fucking madness. So,
Oh my lord.
So we get off the plane, right? We get off the plane at what, maybe 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Get picked up by a limousine with our tour guide in it, who is going to be looking after us for that day, called Sarah, lovely lady, and a lap dancer or stripper. I don't know what the correct terminology is these days. But essentially, it's a woman that's going to take all of her clothes off and lap dance the
hero
groom.
Yeah, hero.
In the back of the limousine, right? So we've all like literally crawled in this limousine. Matey boy, who's half hour late, I should also say he's drunk all the alcohol, right? And was getting a little bit sort of over familiar with people on the plane. Like a little bit, no, not over familiar, but like.
I know.
Just a little bit kind of like didn't get the jokes and was like, I mean, you just think, oh, I don't know if he's going to fit in here.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, it's early in the morning. We've all had a drink. Anyway, we get in there and, it was quite odd. I won't say what he said to the tour guide. But so we've then like basically got to the hostel, maybe 11 in the morning, dropped our stuff off. Lovely sunny day. Let's go and find a nice pub and you know, get some food and sit and have some beers.
Yeah. Hopefully outside or something like that.
Perfect. Perfect. Right, let's get this fucking party going, right? Gonna get a load of coke in, yeah?
Who said this?
Like, new guy, right? So everyone's like, no, you're right, mate. And he's like, nah, fuck, it's a stag, innit? We've got to get on it. And everyone was like, no, you're right. Anyway, he disappears, right?
He just goes.
Yeah, right. Every now and again, you just see him going past on the back of a random scooter, right? And then, like, fucking, he turns up, like, here we go, boys. Right, who's in? Not really, mate. It's 11 in the morning. Like, come on, we got to get on it. Come on. You all right, mate. Fucking hell. Right, so he's there for about another half hour. Well, I'll tell you what, let's bring the love. MDMA. And everyone was like, not really, mate. We're going to have some food first. And, right, I'll go and get it. It disappears again, comes back. Right, who wants some? You all right, mate. Like, we're good. And then I think at that point, like, Big Papa Jay was like, dude, I think you're reading the room wrong. he went, mate, I just want to fucking go mad. He went, I reckon if you stick with me by about 2 o'clock, you'll regret saying that. Like, because I thought, fucking, don't try and be mental around him. You ain't going to win.
Yeah, his idea of going mad is just like a traditional, probably take some drugs and say, be offensive to someone, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas Justin's mad is like...
Different universe.
Yeah, he's actually mad. He's already hosed some poor passenger in whiskey and coke four times. Yeah.
So he's like, right, I'm gonna go and fucking get on it. Anyway, then we got some kind of anxiety-ridden, kind of weird message at about 7 o'clock that night. Then the groom got a message from his missus saying, don't appear to have all gone well. He's on a flight home.
Already?
It lasted about 7 hours. Like, took all the drugs... And then just went home. It's good innings.
That's insane, man.
It really was. It really was. And needless to say, come 1 o'clock in the morning, Big Papa Jay in a karaoke bar. They refused to let him sing Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he got up to sing. In the end, he got on stage, said, right, everybody, let's just get off with each other. Dom and then removed him from the stage. you can picture it, can't you?
I can, yeah, I can. Oh, yes. Oh, man. I love the fact that guy couldn't even last the first day. And what a terrible idea to go home once you'd taken all the drugs.
Yeah, he
to
must
To get
have
back
had...
on the plane must have been the most awful experience of your life.
Yeah.
And he's got to realise that everyone on that stag group thought he was a bit of a dickhead as well.
Oh, 100%. It was so weird. So weird. It was like, who is he? And like, and I mean, some people do burn bright for a very short amount of time. he certainly did, about 7 hours. That's a fucking expensive trip. Like, weren't even a day out.
That's embarrassing. Like, do you know what? I've got stag do on Saturday. And yeah. I am the wild card. I don't know anyone going. And I've done it a few times, and I like doing it, really. It's Ed Kiggins' stag do.
Ah, lovely.
And we're going to Ascot Races. Never nice. Been to a horse race in my life. Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to get savaged in that, to be quite honest with you. But
he's quite handsome. I reckon he's got cool mates. I reckon, I reckon that they're probably just kind of... They'll either feel sorry for you or bully you.
You know what, I'm all right with the bullying, to be quite honest with you. I don't have the right, like, I pulled out an old jacket and a fucking shirt and jeans, and I look like a right old chod. I just don't look like myself. You know what I look like? I look like someone who's going to the races. And that's not a exactly.
They're going to rock up looking like fucking Hardy, Cumberbatch, you, Clarkson.
I look like Jeremy Clarkson. I do. I've got a bit of, like, big fat gut at the moment.
There'll be a
just
few
like,
quid floating about there that day. I reckon you'll try and keep up with them. It'll all go wrong. And before you know it, the crescendo of the night, they'll all be wearing pig's heads hanging out the back of you.
Well, at least there's a silver lining there.
Every glad.
As long as I'll do anything, as long as I get to that point. So what?
I get a laugh.
is there more to the stag do before we move on? Is like, because that was day one. Was a lot of the drama in day one, and then
pretty. You know, it's people first settled. Day, everyone gets excited, don't they? And then second day, you start to realise that you're 49. And we did go in a strip club on the second day, and it was free to get in. But then if you wanted to stay there, if you wanted to stay there, it was, what was it, 35 quid to stay there. And I think my mate bought a Jack Daniels and Coke, and I think it cost him about 20 quid. And one of them stayed, we all just fucked off at that point. One of them stayed and had a dance. And apparently she like was giving him a lap dance, and obviously he had a drink, and I think like he had to put the money for the dance in her cleavage. And then literally I think as she was like taking something off, she went, "Oh, you're gonna get me a drink?" And he went, "What do you want, a glass of champagne?" And she went, "Oh, a bottle." And he went, "Oh, I ain't getting you a bottle." She just walked off. That's brutal, isn't it?
A bottle, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if a Jack Daniels and Coke's 20 quid, a bottle's going to set you back about 300 quid in there. It was like,
insane.
It was insane. And it's like, I mean, I guess it's, there must be stag parties that have got a lot of money that just don't give a shit about stuff like that. But, and also, it was just a bit bleak.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, do you know what? Like,
I mean, that girl who got in the bloody car with like however many of you guys, you know, how brave have you got to be to do that? You know?
Imagine some of the stag parties that might have been in them limos. Like, we were having dinner one night in this, like, bar, and there was this massive, like, party of, like, these Irish lads on the stag do, and, like, literally, like, one of them threw a glass, like, Begbie style over the fucking mezzanine floor to the floor below. Like, it was, like... And there was a poor geezer with them who was their guide. We had, like, Sarah, our guide... Like, they take you on the guided pub tours and that. And, like, we just was, like, just chatting to her, just going, like, look, you can fuck off if you want. You ain't got to stick about all night. Like, because it was fucking horrible. And
that's,
it's, like...
That's so, so sad, man.
And,
so
like,
sad.
And I just thought, if them boys got in that limo with that stripper, that would have been fucking horrid. Thankfully, we're all not turbo cunts. And, like... and weren't like, "Wee!" Do you know what I mean? It was all just like, "Oh, this is awkward."
And you, like, when you got back to your hotel room that night, you had a wank about it.
Six.
Well, there you go. That's the polite way, isn't it?
Well, Big Papa Jay, while we're talking about him, obviously that's a nickname, a self-appointed nickname. He decided to call himself that.
Yeah.
And so that brings us on nicely to today's episode.
Yeah, it does, nicely.
We're 20 minutes in before we've even done a top five, but I imagine this top five could be quite a quick one anyway.
In and out.
So
that was my nickname.
Top five nicknames. I've gone for like mates. What have you gone for?
Mostly mates, a couple of TV people, one right. who's a TV personality and a person I know.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Do you want to start then?
By the way, shout out to Kevin Putman for picking this one. Kev, we hope you're well. Interestingly, Kevin's nickname when I worked with him was Kevin Putman, not Kevin Putman. It wasn't that. It wouldn't have been the right place to be calling someone Butman. But anyway, sorry.
Climb out
losing
of his
arsehole
and and then start. That'd be great.
All right, carpet boy. Carpet boy was a lad that was on the periphery of my friendship group, so he was almost mythical, like a unicorn. And every now and then, someone mentioned carpet boy, and I'd be like, "Who the fuck is this carpet boy?" Every year, I'd hear his name crop up like once, and then I've only met carpet boy once, and carpet boy is basically looks like carpet boy should.
That's an incredible nickname.
It's so offensive because basically he just works at a carpet store and people just found him very boring and called him Carpet Boy. How derogatory. And it just stuck. Like, obviously, all nicknames stick. I've had plenty of unkind ones. And Carpet Boy, I just think that's incredible. Like, how dull and awful is that? Oh, what's your nickname, Carpet Boy? Why is that? So I work at a carpet shop. It's not clever. It's not witty. It's dull.
It's offensive.
It is offensive. And bless him, he wasn't like... He's like the opposite of Justin. Not even saying that, like, Justin isn't something we should all aspire to be by any shot of the imagination.
Not.
But at the same time, like, if you had Justin and you sort of, like, did a reverse negative image of him, you would just get Carpet Boy, basically. Very safe.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting with Carpet Boy, a standard, you know, probably a very reliable, trustworthy guy, but unfortunately, yeah.
Okay, well, I've got one that's really derogatory.
Okay, got it.
And it's up there with Carpet Boy in regards to being so nondescript. and this girl was really nice as well. She was a bit ditzy, is that a word? You can still say? I don't know.
I think men and women can both be ditzy, I guess, yeah.
And when we started college, she was there and I don't know why, like, where this name come from, but my mate Pete dated her for a while, and I think Nick from Math and Manliness may even have dated her for a little while. And I know when it sort of got round to my mate Rich, like, who was like, and the name was set in stone by then anyway, and it was like, "What are you doing tonight?" "Oh, I'm going out with Crapbird."
Oh, God.
Crapbird.
Oh, God.
That was her name.
Oh,
Crapbird. It weren't even like a nickname you're trying to abbreviate. So it wasn't even abbreviated to crap. It was just like, "Oh, it's Crapbird." It's so offensive.
Can I ask why? Just because
she was just a bit crap. Like, and it's so offensive.
It's
not like, she was called crap because she shit herself, or she was crap at something.
Yeah.
We just decided that. I imagine it was Nick that gave her that name. And when I was doing this list, and I was just thinking of, like, people that were floating around my college and stuff like that, and, like, And I went on a double date with, was it Rich, I think, who was dating Crapbird. And I went out on like a double date with her mate. And we was, I think it was in my car. And I think Rich and Crapbird like sort of went for a walk in the park for a kiss and a cuddle.
Yeah.
And I sat there in the car. And I just remember going, why do you call Claire Crapbird?
Oh, God.
And I was like, I don't know. I think like, you know, I think Nick made it up. And I obviously passed the blame straight away and threw Nick under the bus. But
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Imagine if, like, your nickname was like Crap Man or Crap. Oh, you know Crap Chris. Why is he called Crap Chris? He's just a bit crap, isn't he?
I mean, one of my nicknames was the Grock. My original nickname was the Grockle, and it's not even a word. But my best mate was like, "You're just this annoying. You're like a goblin. You're just a bit annoying, like a goblin.
Yeah.
You're irrelevant and like skinny and meek.
Yeah.
You're a Grockle." But at least in that, it had its own... At least it was unique.
I think it was unique, and it was also probably something you could say in public other than just calling you a cunt.
Yeah. It's just... Exactly, yeah. Top Cunt was another nickname I had. But again, I feel like there was something... At least a little
right,
bit
Tom
of
Cruise,
inventiveness
fuck
with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was just a fiend with Top the cunt. Beaver, wasn't I? Yeah. No.
TC.
No.
Top Cunt.
Yeah, you know, Top Cunt Chris. He's a menace with the minge. Like,
But Crapbird, yeah, that is bad, isn't it? And do you know what? I'd like to think maybe what would come out of this, and we can recognise how terrible this is, because kids are awful. And it's not even kids. You were like young adults at that point.
Yeah, we were 17, 18.
And it's, you know, hopefully I'll teach my kids, be careful with that sort of shit. Because it, you know, words can stick with people, and then that can be a constant thing that over the years can fucking send someone fucking sideways, man.
Keep it light, Top Cunt. Fucking hell.
All right. What am I going to go with then? I'll keep it light. Ratty and the Nonce.
Oh, they're good names. They're good names.
Yeah, from Afterlife, if anyone's ever seen it, it really made me chuckle. Like Ricky Gervais's shrink, basically, is Dennis Penis, isn't it? And what's the actor's name? Don't make me try and guess because it'll be embarrassing.
Paul Kay. Oh, you so would have gone for Peter Kay then as well.
Nah, I was going to go for Paul Bettany, who's a completely different actor. Yeah, and Paul Kay's just a twat. He's just an idiot. He's all the things that he's just... He's basically a sort of like... archetype of toxic masculinity as well, isn't he? He's like insecure and lost himself. And he likes to go out with drinks with the lads. Probably... one of Ratty and Nonce, the Nonce, one of those guys was probably this lad who came away with you on that stag do. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm well up for it. Yeah, why is he called the Nonce? And but it is really funny in Afterlife when they meet him in the pub. And then,
that,
you know,
have you seen the outtakes of that scene?
That's what I mean. Like, guys, if you haven't seen it, look at the, go and watch Afterlife Outtakes season one and see those two start listing off their nicknames for each other. And he's just fucking hysterical. He's honestly tear inducing, isn't it? Like, they're all offensive, you know, obviously they're offensive nicknames.
Yeah.
That they throw at each other. But they're, you know, obviously they're creative in that sort of crass way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think Ratty and the Nonce really did fucking get me. And those outtakes are just absolutely give you life. Brilliant.
Who was I talking to yesterday about? I was actually doing a podcast and someone was telling me that the name of their school bus driver used to play Iron Maiden really loudly. And he was called Ratty. And I just thought, oh, that literally sounds so cool. A school bus driver that was into metal called Ratty.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
I mean, whether Ratty turned out to be a Nonce, I don't know. But yeah, Ratty and the Nonce. Good shout. Good shout.
So what are you on, mate?
Well, I'm going to go for, I've got a couple of, I'll get my honourable mentions in later. So Nick Noyes, or Nick Hogben of Mouth of Manliness, right? Nick Noyes, self-appointed, because he used to turn his guitar up to 10 when everyone else was playing at 8, and every time we just have arguments all the time because he turned his guitar up, and so he referred to himself as Nick Noyes, and some people called him Noyes, and it sort of stuck. But he's still in my phone, and I'll show you, and I'll show the people that are watching this. Where's my contacts? When we first started college,
bollocks.
He was clumsy, and at the time the band done we said he was so clumsy he'd fall over his own bollocks, and this was around the time of Viz and Buster Gonad, and we done a cover of Big Spender called Big Bollocks, and it was all about him, and he wasn't very happy about that, obviously. But to this day, it's really weird because obviously he's a friend of cunts and mine. And I am so desensitized to what we did tonight. Me, Joe, and bollocks are going around cunts. That's a fucking offensive, really offensive sentence right there, isn't it? And if sometimes I refer to Joe as Grimcock because that was his nickname. But I'm going to go for the fact that, my mates still call Nick bollocks. And, you know, Nick's That's married incredible. With kids. You know, there shouldn't be people that have got, kids called bollocks still. So in that gang alone, we had Rich T, Jeremy Grimcock. Obviously, I was Roy Tarmac. And Cakes, Neil Pye, Muff Diver, Destruction, G-Spot, and who am I missing? I think that might just be it. Oh, Dennis was called Den Syndrome. that was my circle of friends. So it's weird, isn't it, when you're young, that nicknames are just a thing. And it's obviously, if you've got a Tom, it's, hey, Tomo, or something like that. But I quite like it when it's, my mate Gavin was called G-Spot, because he was very, very popular with the ladies. And, I just love shit like that, when people make an effort with a nickname. There was a bloke at my college who come in, I must have told this story in here before, he just come in one morning, one of them hip-hop belt buckles, and he just had word. They used to get your name on it or whatever. Yeah. Each one said Psycho.
Oh yeah.
All right, Darren. No, it's Psycho, isn't it? Oh, is it? Yeah. Everyone calls me Psycho. I didn't realise, Darren. fucking Psycho.
That's right. The most embarrassing nickname ever. I think.
Yeah.
It is.
Right, what you got for your next
This is one? My number three. I'll throw out some of my ones. More recently, The Noisy Villain, appointed by Ramesh Ranganathan.
Do you know what? I thought about The Noisy Villain when you just said self-appointed nickname, coming in, giving it the big one, saying people call me psycho. That was a very similar sort of scenario about you saying, like, yeah, but when I go, I'll really go.
And absolutely.
Sorry, Mum.
And then my mum comes in and I apologise. I just love that. I just fucking love it. It's beautiful. And obviously, one Aaron used to give me is two shugs. So when I was on like shooting sets with him, doing like, helping him with movie, film production or whatever, he'd call me two shugs, as in he wants two sugars in his tea. I really enjoyed that. It was wonderfully derogatory. But Chrissy Goldtouch, CGT, like, the reason why I'm going to name that one is that I shouldn't be able to name myself Chrissy Goldtouch and people, some of my mates started then abbreviated it into Goldtouch, unironically. So, "Oi, Goldtouch." And I was thinking, how am I getting away? How have I got away with that?
If you can slip one in.
All the abuse that I've got over the years. I guess at some point you're going to accidentally slip something through that people don't. It doesn't go on people's radar. And I think Mark always saw it as ironic. Mm. But other people didn't. And I'd just be like, this is amazing. People call me CGT. Most people would know, like the people who call me Goldtouch, why. And it was basically, one day I was playing Pro Evolution Soccer with a few of my mates. And I'm a bit of an annoying person to play a computer game with. Because you wouldn't know it, would you?
No.
But what I'll do is I will, I will tell you how good I am, and then if while I'm winning, I will rub your nose in it, and also write checks that my mouth can't cash as well. So you know, and so one day I was playing really well, and I was just commentating, and I commentated myself as Chrissy Goldtouch, and that's where it stuck, and I just thought, wonderful, what a wonderful nickname!
Congratulations!
Thanks, mate. You can call me Goldtouch if you want.
Okay. Cheers, Chris.
that's the start of it, so I'll take it.
Right. So this is my number three, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm going to go for... I've got two Steves. And one... Both of them didn't know that they had nicknames. It was one of them ones that everyone else knew their nicknames. And I remember we was DJing one night, and we'd done some sort of competition, and cunt read out the answer and just completely didn't think and just went, and the winner is Creepy Steve.
Oh, no.
Creepy Steve was really creepy. Like, he looked like...
like me?
Jake Gyllenhaal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, but creepy.
Jake Gyllenhaal when he's in Donnie Darko.
Yes.
But more creepy.
Yeah.
On meth. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, he may have been completely fine, but I just remember we all were like, oh, he's well creepy. So, yeah, there was Creepy Steve. Oh. And then the really offensive one was, can you remember, Hate Everything About You by Ugly Kid Joe, like the Wayne's World song.
Yeah.
Well, that was a huge hit, and we had Ugly Kid Steve, which is so horrible.
That's so terrible.
Ugly Kid Steve didn't know that was his name. I reckon I'm going to point a finger at cunt on that one. Or more than likely, Nick was the really mean one. Back then. Ugly Kid Steve. That's really fucking offensive.
It's pretty offensive, mate.
But hopefully he don't listen to this podcast, and hopefully he'll...
Did he ever find out?
No. God, no.
Now's the time. I think
he weren't even ugly. That's the thing. He was a really fucking alright bloke. But you just kind of... I wouldn't even say it's the kind of behaviour that 17, 18-year-olds do. Look for, like, the weakest fucking chink in someone's armour and just go, jump all over that.
it's really out of character.
Ugly Kid Steve and Creepy Steve at number three.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Okay, my number two is Pingu.
Okay.
Okay, so Pingu, this is cruel. In a fun way, I think. I mean, let the listeners can be the judge on this one, right? So we all know Pingu, the lovable little... sort of penguin that waddles around and sort of like goes, wow, wow, wow. Well, at school, supply teachers all had nicknames, didn't they? And they were always slightly odd. And they always got, you know, when your supply teacher came in, you just thought, fucking excellent. Because there's literally like, there's no recalls. They're not, they don't care about what you say. And you think, well, they're not going to really, you won't get into too much trouble. Poor little Pingu, she was this, she was like old. She was really old and tiny, and she had a little walking stick, and she had a, had a real, real pronounced waddle. And it was, she was also called Pingu because of that. But I mean, the main reason was because one day, I've told this one, I'm sorry guys, but there was one day when I started squealing with another kid in class called Kevin. It wasn't Kevin Butman. And I squealed for some reason. I don't know why. Just because I was...
Attention?
Exactly that, attention. I was probably
I was stabbing in the dark there. But...
Yeah, yeah, attention seeking. And the weird thing is... everyone in the class turned around and the teacher didn't, and the teacher didn't say anything. And then Kevin squealed, and we just made this wonderful discovery that Pingu couldn't pick up on high-pitched noises. And so anyone, like, obviously, that sort of like the carpet boy lads in the class weren't going to say it, weren't going to do it. What I meant is the respectful, well-balanced kids were just like, oh, that's a bit childish.
Someone lit a match under CGT, though, didn't they?
Oh, fuck me. The grockle was just like, hey. And so me and Kev just proceeded to squeal our fucking little prepubescent heads off. And the teacher didn't say anything. But other teachers, more than one teacher, knocked on the door and came in and would say to Pingu, is everything all right? And she'd be like, yeah, absolutely fine. Because no one was rude to Pingu because she was like nice and quite old and vulnerable. But there was still a vulnerability there that we could exploit. And without being directly horrible to her. So, yeah, that's what, obviously, we took that and ran with it. And one teacher would come and go, is everything all right? And she'd go, yeah, yeah. They'd go out. We'd start doing it again. Another teacher would come in and go, what's that noise? And she'd say, well, it's just not coming from in here. And you can imagine we're at the back of the classroom just fucking, this is the best thing that's ever happened in my entire life. And literally, As soon as that teacher closed the door, I would squeal so loud. And they would close the door and then they'd come storming back in. And then they realised that obviously she can't hear the fucking noise. And they're like, and she's like, no one's making it. And he just like looked around and go, I know it's one of you. Fucking stop it.
Best it game ever. You.
Oh, it was incredible. So good old Pingu. My favourite supply teacher for that wonderful, wonderful old age vulnerability she displayed.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. What's your
talk? I've got one from school, a teacher who had a head like a spoon, and his name was Joseph Solis. He was just known a PE teacher called Joe Spoon.
Spoon.
Who you got next, our Spoonhead? teachers' nicknames are the best. I've got one that I'm going to have to say afterwards because I do think it's just too offensive.
I've removed a few as well.
Because I know when you think people just called him that and that would have wrecked his life.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to do a quick shout out to the bloke from the Oaks growing up. You had Benny the dog that was an old man that if you bought him a pint, he would literally crawl around the floor and bark at people. In fairness, I think Benny was just an alcoholic that was literally just desperate for drink to the point where people would exploit him.
If you got a bottle of whiskey, he would have noshed you off, absolutely. Benny the Nosh. That's what he'd been known as if I went there.
Yeah, I didn't really go there. The other one was a bloke that had obviously had some kind of surgery and his shoulders are very high. Terry Nonek. Terry Nonek. I haven't seen Terry. I used to see him all the time. I haven't seen him for a while. I don't know if he's still with us. Terry Nonek. Anyway, my number two is the sound engineer at the Pink Toothbrush. Steve Shepherd. And he's just one of the loveliest old guys you'll ever meet.
Mm.
He's always been on the scene. Like he's got to be pushing 70. Like just a lovely fella. And maybe 10 years ago, back when I was sort of just starting to finish doing bands myself, but was still putting bands on at the Brush. He lost his hearing in one ear, which is obviously very detrimental when sand is your job.
Yeah.
But it did spur the best nickname ever. Who's doing a PA tonight? Oh, Def Shepherd. Def Shepherd. That's fucking great.
That's really good.
That's like
an adult nickname, that is. It's a real caliber there. It's not just pointing out someone's fucking unfortunate. Well, not even unfortunate.
Well, it really
just
is. He lost his hearing.
Yeah, no, not that, but it was a clever play on words. But No Neck Pete is like...
Terry No Neck.
Terry Nonek, it's kind of like you're just pointing out something, aren't you?
Yeah.
It's like the childish version. It's normally quite cruel.
Terry Nonek could be definitely one of the people on the peripheries in Casino or fucking Goodfellas.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, absolutely. But Def Shepherd is just absolute class. It's a classy nickname. It's classy, it's witty. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your number two?
I'm on number one, mate.
Mm.
So my number one, so this comes back to like, I hope I can educate my kids because we've laughed at some of these and some of these are quite offensive or upsetting and, you know, they pick out on people's features and it's all well and good saying, oh, yeah, well, I can take a joke. Everyone else should. I don't think that's entirely right. You know, a joke's good if the audience is laughing and if they're not, then, you know, pick your audience and know who you're with before you start saying shit. And that lad who came on a stag do with you clearly... was talking to the wrong audience and anyway, so this is like, well, just watch out and avoid nicknames. I try and teach that to my kids, but obviously this is a TV person, Screech, and Screech Dustin, whatever his name is, like that nickname and that character stuck with him so bad he ended up going the other way and being a bit hardcore and a bit tough, didn't he? And didn't he end up doing time for like pulling a knife on someone or stabbing someone, that Dustin Diamond.
Is he not in prison for murder?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But it's weird because I wonder how that nickname made him kind of like compensate in his future life. I don't know. But
that's the most insane guesswork you've ever brought to this podcast. So his character being a bit of a donut.
Mm. He wanted to be turned
him into a homicidal maniac.
I've got to break character tonight.
I've got to break. What are you going to do? Oh, kill someone.
No, listen. Because that character was so strong, people would see him in the street and probably call him Screech. And then after a while, Screech is a bit of a useless tool, isn't he?
He's
really
dead.
He's funny. Oh shit! Well, there you go. I think it's all because of his nickname. And then he probably took himself a bit too serious and wanted to be a bit of a gangster. And he lived his life a little bit too on the wild side. There you go. That's my absolute guesswork for today. Put that in your pocket. But anyway, I said that I've got one where it's a TV character and also a person. There was a lad at Cooper's.
Oh, hang on, let's get this right here. Sorry.
Come on.
Diamond was arrested in Wisconsin for possession of a switchblade knife, which he was alleged to have pulled during a bar altercation in which a man was stabbed. Amanda Schultz, his fiancée, was found guilty of disorderly conduct and fined $500. He was convicted of two misdemeanors, carrying a concealed weapon and disorderly conduct. He was cleared of the most serious charge, recklessly endangering public safety. On June the 25th, he was sentenced to 4 months in jail. He served 3 months released on probation. But he then violated his terms and was arrested again. So he didn't kill anyone. Sorry, that was really fucking bad.
It was terrible guesswork, wasn't it?
And yeah, lung cancer. And yeah, died in February 2021, age 44. Fucking hell. I mean, I never watched Saved by the Bell.
Well, you missed out. It was quality. Well, you know, rest in peace, Dustin. But a shit name. Tough name to get away from, I reckon, Screech. And I did it. Like, there was a kid at Cooper's, and he looked just like fucking Screech, Stu. And I don't suppose I was the first person to say fucking Screech. But, you know, it's a bit like, I know I named Baz Vegas, and I'm pretty certain I did name him Screech. And he had that for fucking 5 years at Cooper's. And because I left Cooper's and went to Palmer's, and then no one else from Cooper's left and came to Palmer's in the year below me, except for fucking Screech. And when I saw him in the canteen, I was like, you know, I just pointed out to some of my mates, oh, we used to go Cooper's. We called him Screech. And that was it. Back to Screech. So he probably thought he'd left fucking Cooper's.
Chris Basson, ruining life.
Fresh start. Well, the thing is, I imagine, like, you know, that, let's be serious. Like, it was so obviously he looked like Screech. There's no fucking way I invented that as his nickname. Or probably anyone paid attention when I said it at Palmer's. But Your Honour. But 100% that poor bastard's name was Screech throughout that and that. That's a tough gig, isn't it? But maybe it made him tough. Maybe like the...
well done. Congratulations. Good on you, Chris.
The Johnny Cash song, yeah. Sue, hey?
Bring him up rough, yeah. Toughen him up, yeah.
Well, you know, diamonds are formed under pressure.
Dustin Diamonds.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Dustin Diamonds, a really fucking cool name.
It's a great name. That's the worst thing. He's got a fucking... Imagine having a wicked name and your nickname being like the worst and everyone calls you the nickname.
He went on Big Brother. Like, and I remember him being all right. He was like, just seemed like a pretty nice dude. Obviously, just had a drink and got a bit fucking clever with a blade. But, but you know, that's nothing different to what happens where we're from. Anyway, my number one.
What's your number one?
It fucking blows my mind, this name. So when the Bullseye Pub in Basildon, which I'm sure you're very familiar with, become the Market Tavern. It's now Colours, the gay bar. But in between the Bullseye and it being Colours, it was called the Market Tavern. And I used to run a Friday night, sort of alternative night there for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And it was like your kind of entry-level alternative night. You know, you went there for a couple of years and then you went to the Toothbrush and to London and to other clubs. One of the... things that blew my mind was I met this fella called Steve Gobber, I think his name was, really fucking lovely bloke, and I can't think what their other mate's name was. He was a big old like chunky metaller, but had a bit of confidence about him. Then they had their other tubby mate that would like wear one of them like massive Pantera t-shirts, had like a bad mullet. Like, really bad trainers done up too tight. like a bad pair of jeans. But he would always be a little bit, I think once he got to this club and had probably escaped maybe, you know, systematic bullying for 15 years at school, like he found his confidence a little bit. And I remember sitting there with Steve one night and he went, "Do you want a drink?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, go on then. Yeah, I'll have a Diet Coke, please." And he was like, "Martin, do you want a beer?" And he was like, "Yeah." He said, "What's dinner lady want?" And I was like, "What?" He went, "What?" I went, "Did you just call him dinner lady?" He went, "Yeah, that's his name." And I was like, "Why do you call him dinner lady?" He said, "Because at school he had no friends and he hung around with a dinner lady."
Oh, God.
But the thing is, at the toothbrush, I saw Steve's daughter, who's still from around where I live, and she was just like, "Oh, you know my dad, Steve." And I was like, "Steve, is your Steve Gobb?" I was like, "Fucking hell." I said, "I ain't seen your dad for years. How is he?" And she went, yeah, he's doing really well. He said, like, "You used to know him and that." And he said, "Like, you knew dinner lady as well." And I just thought, dinner lady's probably about 45, still being called dinner lady. Oh, God. It weren't even abbreviated to dinner. It was just every time dinner lady. What a fucking brilliant nickname. Just fucking blew my mind. To this day, whenever I hear the word dinner lady, I fucking chuckle to myself. Like, imagine having to hang around with the dinner ladies at school. That's fucking rough, isn't it?
And like, yeah, it's really rough.
You know, especially in like the, what I imagine was like the sort of late 80s, early 90s, like when you still used to get the old school dinner ladies in a tabard, just kind of like wandering around the playground. Like, I remember, who did cunt convince? Who was he convinced? It might have been Scottish Julie. He convinced her that in the event of war, obviously, like, before, like, you get called up, obviously, you know, the army go in, then the territorials go in. He then convinced her that it was then traffic wardens and then dinner ladies. And then it was like, you get called up. Yeah, you want to start worrying when dinner ladies are fucking getting sent out to Iraq. That's when shit gets real. Number one, dinner lady. And I can't wait to press stop to tell you the one that I really don't want to say on here, because I know I'll try not to laugh, and I'll laugh and it'll be inappropriate, and I know you're going to laugh a lot. And yeah, we'll just get cancelled. So, we done?
I think we're done. Hope you've enjoyed that episode. Encourage your kids not to use nicknames. That'd be the moral of the story.
Right. I mean, we are talking about people that are called the MSC, but still.
Okay, yeah. True.
Laters, people.
Bye.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.